George Washington, the father of America, envisioned our country as a place where, quoting the ancient prophet Micah, everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. But in various hotspots around the world, even on some college campuses in America, there have been attacks on Jews lately, especially after the barbaric attack on October 7th in Israel by Hamas. Recently, some Ukrainian Jews had left their homeland to seek safety in Israel because of the Russian-Ukrainian conflict there, only to be attacked by Hamas. Michael Johnson is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association based in Illinois, and he says that their organization is actually funding humanitarian aid to Ukrainian Jews in Israel in Christ's name. Michael Johnson joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Michael, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So tell us about what's happening. And just real fast, Slavic Gospel Association, explain what you do and then where do Ukrainian Jews fit in. And then we'll talk about Israel and what you're doing today.
Okay. Yeah. So Slavic Gospel Association was established in 1934 by an immigrant from Belarus by the name of Peter Danica. And when he began to see the persecution that was growing in the Soviet Union among the Christian community and the church community, he established this ministry, one, for the covert distribution of Bibles and Christian literature during that time, but two, we had a significant radio ministry. Russian language radio ministry, as well, in partnership with groups like Transworld Radio and FEBC. So, right around the time that the Russians proclaimed to their populations that they were going to put the last Bible under glass in a museum in St. Petersburg and eliminate all forms of religion, we ramped up our Christian radio programming to roughly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, broadcasting in through and around the Iron Curtain. And really the most popular radio program was simply the slow reading of Scripture, so people in their attics and their basements could write down God's Word, and that was the way they had access to the Bible. So when the wall came down, we partnered with one of the largest group of evangelical churches in those countries. That would be the Evangelical Christians Baptist Churches. We have access to roughly 6,000 churches across the former Soviet Union. We helped them with theological training and sponsoring church planters and whatnot. But more recently, because we have this vast network of churches, we've been distributing food and humanitarian aid through those churches to people that are in need. So when the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, in Ukraine at the time, they had roughly 2,800 churches, and we were funneling humanitarian aid through those churches. At one time, we were the largest distributor of humanitarian aid in all of Ukraine. As people were being displaced from their homes, they lost all hope. They were trying to make their way out of the country. They needed help, and it was the churches that reached out to help them. And so those churches were lights for the gospel and continue to be lights for the gospel in those cities, towns, and villages in Ukraine in the midst of this horrible war. A number of the people that were ministered to were Ukrainian Jews trying to make their way out of Ukraine and into Israel. So we also have significant ministry among the Slavic churches in Israel. And so we have a connection of churches situated all throughout Israel. And so when the Ukrainian refugees would leave Ukraine and come to Israel, the Slavic churches would meet them when they were coming into the country. They would help them to find places to live. They would help them to find jobs, and they would help them get situated into Israel, which is sometimes difficult. And so most of these people settled in the south and in and around the city of Ashkelon. And most people know that Ashkelon suffered the brunt of the drones and the missiles, and then there were Hamas, snipers up on the top of the apartment buildings throughout Ashkelon, picking people off in the streets. It was a really difficult situation. So these people found themselves in a situation where a few months earlier, They were affected by the war in Ukraine. Now they found themselves in the middle of another conflict in Israel, and it's been very difficult for them.
You know, it's interesting. When you think about all the Hamas-Israel conflict we've been hearing about, we don't really hear much about anything related to Christians and so forth. So are there some people with your organization there in Israel trying to do this work and so forth?
Yes. Again, we are an equipping ministry, so we don't have Western missionaries in any of these countries, and which means, like, for example, in the case of Russia, all the other Western missions organizations have left. But because we equip the national churches to do the work, as long as we can get funding in to help support the work, we can continue to work in Russia. And right now we're expanding our ministry in Russia because they have their own difficulties and challenges as well right now. So that's the case in Israel. We've been working in Israel since the 40s, and we did send a Russian Jew to Israel, a Russian Jewish Christian to Israel as a missionary, and that ministry began to grow in terms of training and church planting. But more recently, we partnered with an organization called One for Israel in Netanya, and we fund the largest training program for Slavic, Russian, or Ukrainian Jewish completed Jews living in Israel who have come to faith in Christ. And
so churches then in Israel active despite all that, you know, that, or maybe even because of, you know, or through it all this terrible thing, you know, going on, the conflicts.
Oh, yeah. There's been a network of Slavic and Russian and Ukrainian and Slavic churches in Israel for many, many years. You just don't hear about it. And roughly in Israel, the percent of the population that are either Russian or of Russian descent is somewhere between a quarter and a third percent of the population. So it's a significant number of people who are Russian or of Russian descent and speak the Russian language in Israel that these particular churches have access to. And so we're connected with churches from the, you know, southern part of the country to the northern part of the country, which is important because right now most of the conflict is in Gaza, and roughly 20% of the Israeli military is in Gaza dealing with this. But the rest of the military are up north in anticipation of what Hezbollah might do coming out of the West Bank. So it's quite an interesting situation, but our concern is, you know, we equip churches, and so, you know, when the things broke out in and around Ashkelon, there's a network of churches down there. They knew where these people lived. They knew the community, and they just, you know, from day one, you know, we sent money over. They put food packets together. And they got the list of addresses, hundreds and hundreds of people, and went out and started knocking on doors and, you know, ministering to these people, giving them food, you know, and these people were there. A lot of them hadn't even found jobs yet. They didn't know how they were going to survive. And they were praying that God would show up. And all of a sudden, God showed up in the face of these Christians that came to minister to them from these churches.
Wow, that's interesting. And I read this one testimonial of one of these pastors, Pastor Oleg. It says, yeah, who also trained students at an SGA-supported Bible college in Israel, said many, yeah, Israelis are more open to hearing the gospel right now than ever before. He said, quote, many of my Bible students are former alcoholics and drug addicts, but God saved them. They are now pastors planting new churches. God is writing the story of the church, and we're praying for revival across, mm-hmm, Israel. Man, this is something we never hear about in the news sources.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of people talk about we need to stand with Israel, and we do, you know, and a lot of people quote the, you know, Genesis 12, God blesses those that bless my people Israel, and that, I think that's a true statement, obviously. But, you know, there's just a tremendous openness because, like in Ukraine, you know, as a result of the work that we're doing through those churches, there's a revival taking place in Ukraine right now. I mean, and the Ukrainian pastors are telling us we have a very different situation now because many of the people and a lot of the Christians in Ukraine left and they moved to Eastern Europe. And now most of the people as their churches are growing, are either new believers or new visitors to their churches as a direct result of the acts of mercy of these churches in their villages. So, and we're seeing a similar thing taking place in Israel right now, because, you know, as these church workers went out and ministered to these people, you know, they'll drop it off. They'll have a conversation with them. They'll pray with them. They'll share the gospel with them. Then they'll come back in another couple of weeks with another bag of groceries. And now, you know, now the people are starting to come to the churches to receive this aid. So God is drawing people in. He's drawing people to themselves, because obviously the people in Israel, they need to know who their true Savior is. And it's Jesus Christ. And people are really open to it, because a significant percentage of the population in Israel are atheists. And the Russians tend to be the most open to it, because they grew up in atheistic homes as opposed to Orthodox homes. So we're seeing a significant number of people, particularly from the Slavic world, come to faith in Christ, Russian Jews in Israel. And God is blessing the work of those churches.
Wow. Well, we have about 3 minutes remaining. Do you want to tell a story or two of some of the people being touched?
Well, let's see. Here's a story. A rocket flew into their house and destroyed the entire entrance. They've been in the basement of the house since the first days of the war, and we bring them hot food. When we told them that we believe in Christ, they were open and began listening. After the conversation, they asked us to give them Bibles and to come again. We talked about Christ the whole evening, and they wanted to study the Bible with us. So we started a Bible study group in the basement. Please pray for these people. And there's another one. This person was from Belarus, and basically he said Oscar and his wife were originally from Belarus. He told me that when they lived in Belarus, a pastor often talked to him about Christ. But Oscar continued, I was a truck driver and I didn't have time for God. Now I'm old and sick. I'm on dialysis. I have cancer and other health issues. It was a good moment to start this conversation. God reminded this man of his love and power, and that he can heal not only our bodies, but our souls. So these people have lost hope, and they don't know what's going to happen to them. And particularly these immigrants from the Soviet countries, a lot of them aren't connected to anybody there. A lot of them don't have jobs. So they're in a really difficult position. And invariably, when they come in, you know, they're not saying to these people, you know, we're going to hold off giving you food until you hear the gospel. They're just there to come and minister to them. And typically what happens is they'll ask them, why are you here and what motivates you to be here? And they say, we're Christians. This is a ministry of our church. God has called us to come and minister to you. And we just want you to know that God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Christ is your way to salvation.
Wow. Now, do you have some sort of broadcast ministry at all in Israel itself?
No. When the wall came down, we shifted our strategy. So, we work more directly with the churches. So we have a little bit, but not nearly as much as we did, you know, back in the 30s and 40s when
sure.
it was really important, because that was the only way you could reach these people.
All right,
and during those years, we weren't even sure if anybody was actually listening to us.
Wow.
But then we found out later that they were.
And as you said before, the one, and by the way, we have 30 seconds left in this conversation. I was fascinated by the point you said that the broadcast that was the most effective was just somebody slowly reading the Bible in their own language so that people could write this thing down.
Amazing. When I started going over there, they would pull these pads of paper, they would pull these out and show them to me.
So cool. Meaning that, the Word
absolutely.
Of God is so powerful.
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got enough time for your website, which is sga.org. Michael Johnson, President of Slavic Apostles Association. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you very much.